And if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, is where we'll be at. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll continue like we've been going. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 18. 12 through 18. And I've entitled this sermon today, Deceiving Yourself. And the theme here really is how to deceive yourself. And to kind of give you a little more clarity is the pitfalls in evaluating yourself. This is what I wrote down. It's hard to see yourself for what you really are. If you don't believe me, ask someone that knows you to give you a summary of you. And I bet somewhere along that conversation, you will become defensive. Let me say it again. Find someone who knows you really well. And get them to be, say, I want you to be honest with me. Give me a summary of who I am. And at some point in that conversation, probably about 30 seconds in, you're going to get defensive. Or better yet, find a picture from about 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And see if you like that picture of yourself. But when you took the picture, you probably liked the picture. What I mean, especially in high school, look at the yearbook. You remember when you thought you looked good, thought you looked cool, and looked stylish? And you look back, and you don't look so stylish? Okay? My point is that when that day you woke up and take that picture, you probably said, man, I look great. But now when you look back, no, I don't look great. My point is, it's hard to have an honest evaluation of yourself. It's very easy to deceive yourself. Many times, we dilute or deny or deceive ourselves about ourselves. To better understand what I'm talking about, let's look at the context here. And then the context, obviously, is what's happening when the scripture is being written here. And obviously, this is a letter, so just to kind of give you a recap, Paul's writing the letter, and he's writing to the Corinthians, okay? And there were false teachers who have been attacking Paul's ministry, okay? These false teachers, and a lot of them were probably Judaizers, they had created their own exclusive group and began to compare themselves to Paul, thus showing everyone how much better they were than Paul. Okay? And obviously they were proud. They sought to make their appearance superior. They evaluated themselves and thought they were great. They claimed greater power, oracle skills, and influence than Paul. Remember, I think it was last week or the week before, they didn't talk about how Paul was ugly, basically. How he looked, he wasn't a charismatic fellow. But obviously, they were wrong. Paul shows that their standard was wrong and gives a correct standard. They had evaluated themselves incorrectly. They had deceived themselves. But let's not be too hard on them, because we are guilty of the same thing. Now, we probably don't deceive ourselves to the point that we mislead others, but many times we are as guilty of deceiving ourselves as they were. So this morning, let's look at how to deceive yourself in hope of avoiding these pitfalls in your life. And I'm going to tell you, I like point number one. I like point number two, Ms. Jam. Point three, I don't really like point number two. So we'll start off good and end good, hopefully. So anyway, two out of three. But I'll explain point number two, but it's a little more difficult. I struggle with it. But number one, and it's probably my favorite one, if you want to deceive yourself today, number one, create your own standard. Let's go ahead and look at verse 12. And then when it says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves. And I'll go ahead and tell you that second one could be translated to others, comparing themselves by others, okay? And comparing themselves among themselves, again, it most likely could be said to others, are not wise. Okay, so create your own standard. The first thing I want to point out here is that it is a reality. You say, what do you mean by that? It is a reality that most of us like, and I'll get to it here in a minute, we tend to create our own standard. We tend to create our own truth. In other words, we tend to create a list of things that are acceptable and unacceptable, even in the Christian life. I mean, I was guilty this other day. I'm not gonna lie. I got the pleasure of going snow skiing. I went up to West Virginia the other day, me and one of my best friends from Irwin, Tennessee. And we went up there, and I mean, he was drinking. All he kept doing was Diet Pepsi. And I finally said, man, you don't even drink so many Diet Pepsi. And he kind of called me out and said, well, yeah, but you ate like five Little Debbies. I said, true. True. I said, it got me there. We did it. It's okay for me to eat Little Debbie, but it's not okay for him to drink diet drinks, I think are terrible. But anyway, they don't taste good on top of that. But that's what we do. We like to create our own standard, and it is a reality in our life. And in verse 12, we see here in the last part, he said that they measured, and that's why this text is kind of difficult, because all measure means is to estimate. They evaluated, and then it says that they evaluated themselves. Okay, so that's what we're at. So they evaluated. They evaluated themselves, but then it said here that they evaluated them to, to one another. It says themselves by themselves. Their standard was one another. See, the first step in deceiving yourself into thinking that you are okay is to create your own standard. That's exactly what they did. Look at what John MacArthur says. They invented their own personal standard for greatness. They met them and then proudly proclaimed their superiority. To be deceived, to not be deceived, you have to realize that creating your own standard is the reality, is a temptation in your life. Let me illustrate like this. And I told my mother I was going to talk about her today. My mother, my lover, this hasn't been this long ago. When she's driving, she is the perfect driver. You say, what do you mean? If she's driving, I don't know what the speed is. If someone passes her, they're going too fast. And if she is behind somebody who's in her way, they're going too slow. And she's very passionate about that. They're going too fast. Now, if she can pass somebody, she's not going too fast. What is it? She has created her own standard, and everyone else doesn't measure up. That's a temptation. We have a temptation to do that. But here's the thing, more importantly, we have created that same type of standard and custom tailored for us. And the fact that we're always right. We create our own standard, then judge others by it, and we're always the winner. See, the sins we commit are okay. But the sins that others commit are not. I hadn't told her, but she knows I agree with her. My aunt smokes. I got an aunt that smokes. Call her Aunt Smokey and stuff like that sometimes, you know. And, you know, I could get up here, and I don't think you should smoke. I don't think it's the best thing for you, but you know, we can get up here. I can get up here and say, you know, you smoke, and that's an addiction. You should give it up. How many of y'all are addicted to something? How many of y'all are addicted to materialism? That probably got most of us more than we realize. You say, no, not. I challenge you this next month, don't buy anything that you don't need. And that you don't have to have. I bet you a lot of you are going to be a whole lot harder than you realize. Because we fill our lives with stuff more than we realize. So I'm not saying that either one's right. I'm just saying what my point is that we tend to form a list of things that are acceptable. Like it's not right to be addicted to tobacco. It's also not really right to be addicted to laziness, addicted to gossip. You get my point? We tend to create our own standard to what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. We do the same thing. Here's another one. And I think from 4 or 5 years ago, Dabo Swinney, which is the head coach of Clemson football, he cussed on TV. You know, he claimed to be a Christian. I mean, people just got, you know, they got so upset about that. And they say, well, he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't cuss because it was on TV. Yet the same people go home and watch cussing on TV. when I watch a movie that got 1,000 cuss words in it. And you shouldn't have cussed. Oh, well, maybe so. But you shouldn't be listening to a movie that's got 1,000 cuss words in it either. You get my point? I guess what I'm trying to say is it's a little bit of hypocrisy. It's okay. Me and my pastor friend talk about this and talk about somebody, you know, I'll say it like this. It's okay if your daughter or son is a fornicator, but it's not okay if they're a homosexual. Both are wrong. But that's the thing is, but the problem though is that most people, and then what we're seeing now is that I just can't believe that my son and daughter are homosexual. I mean, I understand. But they don't care that they're fornicating. Both are wrong. You see, one's acceptable, one's not. What are we doing? We've created our own standard. They ought not sleep around. But that same person will go home and watch a movie with nudity in it. You see what I'm getting at? We created our own standard. They should go to church. But you've not opened your Bible since last week. See, it's a reality that we tend to create our own standard. And even when it comes to salvation, I'm saved because I did this. Or I know I'm saved because of this. No, you should know that you're saved because of what the Bible says and have you done that. My point is that we're all guilty of creating our own standard. And then deceiving ourselves and thinking that we're perfect. See, we've created standards just like the other people. They're like the false teacher. Our standard is other people. Here's what's wrong with this. It's flawed because you can always find someone worse than you. And even if you can't, you judge him by a different set of rules, just like my friend. I was judging him because he was drinking Diet Pepsi, but I'm eating Little Debbie's. If you invent the rules and then change them for everybody, then you're always going to feel better about yourself. You're always going to feel justified and perfect. Because why? Because you've tailor-made and standard just for you. Well, again, if I'm going to talk about how to be healthy, I'm not going to say don't eat Little Debbie's. And that's what you do. That's what we do, even in our spiritual life. It is a reality, but letter B, it must be rejected. Look at verse 12 again. And then we get back to the first part of this. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Paul says, I refuse to use their standard. But to make a number means to judge that one belongs to a certain class. Paul said, I'm not going to do that. Paul said, I'm not going to use and create a standard to evaluate myself. And neither should you. No matter who created the standard. Maybe it's a word later. But like, it doesn't matter who created the standard. That's the thing. Your mom and dad may have created the standard a long time ago. I mean, I had my grandmother, she thought it was okay to cuss. As long as you didn't say the F word or GD or God's name in vain. That's great, right? But she made it up. And I go around and say, well, my grandma, she said it was okay. It don't matter who created the standard. If it's not in line with the Bible, then it's not a good standard. We do that all the time. We create our own standard. It doesn't matter who created it. It must be rejected. Here's why. Because Paul said this at the end of verse 12. They are not wise. Paul tells us that when we do that, when we create our own standard, we're not wise. That means foolish and irrational. And think about it. It is irrational. What makes you so special that you know exactly what is right and wrong? What is making you so right or so special that you know what's acceptable and not? And by the way, here's sometimes who we create. I'm going to tell you one famous way you know if you create your own standard. Well, it's not that bad. It ain't that big of a deal. And I see this a lot with parents and grandparents who, when their kids get into singing, they decide that it's okay. I mean, I've seen many people who, if the kids become homosexual, they're fornicating. Oh, well, it's not that big of a deal now because it's in my family. And I see that all the time. Like one pastor said, most people change when their kids become teenagers. And it's true. We can't do that. We can't create our own standard. Anytime you follow a self-made standard over God's word, you are a fool. So here's the thing. You want to deceive yourself? You want to get an unanchored opinion or evaluation of yourself? Create your own standard and judge yourself by it. To deceive yourself, you need to create your own standard. Secondly, focus on others and be dishonest. And that's why I don't like it. There's two points here. Focus on others and be dishonest. The first point you'll see in the context, and the second part you'll see in Paul's response. See, let me give you the context here. That's letter A. Here's the problem. And I want you to if not careful, we get lost. False teachers were attacking Paul for limiting their success and gaining a following. What happened? Paul built a church. God built it, but Paul used to start a church in Corinth. He got it going. He went back. He wrote letters. He leaves. And then the false teachers, probably most likely Judaizers, they started creeping in. Okay, and they started trying to take over. And the one thing they knew, that if they were going to take over, they had to basically squash Paul. They had to get rid of Paul. And so they began attacking him. And that's when they created their own standard, and then they started measuring Paul to it. And so they said, look, Paul's doing this. Paul shouldn't do this. And that's what John MacArthur said. He said, false apostles' standard of comparison was subjective based on superficial external factors as personality, charisma, and speaking skills. They invented their own personal standard for greatness and then proclaimed their superiority. They were attacking Paul. They told straight-up lies in their evaluation. I want you to realize that, because we'll see here in a minute when I read this verse, you'll see what I'm saying here. They made up lies, false credentials. They were dishonest. The false teachers felt great about themselves because they focused on Paul and how he didn't measure up. Let me say that again. They felt great about themselves because they judged Paul and felt great about themselves. Now, that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. How many times do we do that? We measure other people and feel great about ourselves. I like what one guy said here. They have become a legend in their own minds. Let's be honest. How many of y'all, sometimes you're not careful or perfect in your own mind? Anybody like that? I'm like that. Anybody like you? I mean, have you ever sit around and thought, man, I just wouldn't do it that way. I just wouldn't do that. I don't know what they're thinking. We tend to be legends in our own mind. And that's what these people did. They attacked Paul. They lied about Paul. They focused on Paul more than themselves. And that's the best way to deceive yourself. And for me, you know how I can feel great about myself? Find one of y'all, make up a rules, and then focus on you the whole time. Like, you know, Miss Jean, she's just terrible. Here's my list. The first thing, don't wear purple. Yep, I'm better than her today. It's simple. That's what we do, though, spiritually. That's what these false teachers were doing. They were making up absurd credentials and say, well, you're not measuring up. And then, well, I feel great about myself. That's what they were doing. They were lying. So here's that the context. Now here's the conclusion. Now let's look at verse 13. Now you kind of understand what's being said in verse 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God had distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. See, here's the thing. So what Paul's saying there is kind of confusing, beyond who he is. Basically, what he's saying in verse 13. Paul's saying, I'm honest. I was honest. He's saying they have been dishonest. They have lied. But Paul said here, but we refuse to boast above his measure. What he's saying here is that I'm not going to say anything that is not true about my ministry. That's what the false teachers were doing. They were lying about what they had accomplished. And Paul said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell it straight forward. I'm not going to go above and beyond. I'm not going to boast without our measure. And then in verse 13, he says, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Paul is what he's saying in verse 13. Paul said, I can use you, talking about the Corinthians, as an example for what I am because you are part of my ministry that God gave me. Once again, in context, the false teacher would come in and claim, hey, we built this church, basically. And they say, no. Paul said, no, that's not true because it's part of my ministry. He refused to trade lies and exaggeration with the false teachers. Paul said, without measure, Robert Pickler said this, that without measure means without objective standard of measurement. We kind of talked about that last week. They had nothing to back up what they were saying. Look at verse 14 and 15. For we stretch not ourselves beyond measure, and though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as you in preaching the gospel, not boasting of anything without a measure, that in of other men's labor, but having hope. So right there, we'll stop there. So right here, what he's saying here, he's supposed to say, I didn't intrude. Now, that's not going to help us much today, but what he's saying is they didn't intrude. We're saying, well, again, in light of the false teacher, and Brother Martin was a false teacher, then Brother Martin came in and intruded and took over. And Paul said, I didn't do that. Paul said, I didn't do that. I didn't steal someone else's glory. I didn't steal someone else's thunder. And then in verse 16, he says this. He says, to preach the gospel and to reach beyond you. He said, my goal is not just to stay here. My goal is to continue going on. He said, and he wasn't self-seeking. Now, basically, if what I'm going to do it is as condensed as I can, these verses, which are a little confusing to me, maybe not you, he's saying, Paul said, there's proof in the pudding. Paul said, I didn't have to lie. Paul said, I don't have to focus on someone else to make myself great. You ever seen that? You ever seen people who focus on other people to make themselves great, especially like athletes? Like, you know what? You didn't do this, you didn't do that. But then, what did you do? That's what Paul's saying here. The reason he states these things in a lot of the context, he said they're attacking them by using their own standard. What were they doing? Here's two things. The false teachers were focused on Paul, and they were being dishonest about themselves. That's exactly what we do when we create our own standard. We use it to focus on other people. So it kind of builds what I'm trying to get you to understand. The first thing we do in deceiving ourselves, number one, we create this standard. A standard that we make ourselves. Then we take that standard and we focus on everybody else. That's what the false teachers did. They create this standard where you have to speak good, you have to be in this group, you have to do these things, you know, you have to wear your hair a certain way, you know, and, well, Paul, you're not doing that. You're not great. That's what we do. We create our own standard, and then we focus on other people. And then not only do we do that, then we tend to lie to ourselves about what we really are. Be like if I say, well, I'm a healthy person. And I tell my friend, hey, on my list, you can't drink diet drinks. But I'm pretty healthy. No, I'm not. I ain't Little Debbie's. Okay? It's the same principle. That's what we do in our spiritual life. We do create our own standard, and we sit around and we focus on everybody else. Well, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing this. They shouldn't do that. By the way, that's what we're doing with politics now in D.C. We spend all the time focusing on D.C. Well, what we need to do today is focus on ourselves. And even if we're right, I agree, you're probably right. But the only thing you can change is yourself. The only thing you can do to change America is change yourself. That's it. That's what we've done. We create a standard. We make a measuring tape, and we measure everyone else fighting it, and we spend our time saying how it's wrong. How they're wrong. That's what we do. I mean, I think part of the thing about what the devil's doing in America, he's got us to focus on Hollywood, D.C., and all the other things that are wrong. And we forgot to turn it and look at ourselves. Because I'm pretty sure most pastors go to the average church can probably find enough things to fix ourselves. Now, what disappoints me, not the world, what disappoints me a lot of time is the apathy inside the church. The people who claim to be Christian, what Christian families are producing now. That's what's sad. That's what's disappointing to me. Let's get back to that. At the end of the day, the only person you can fix is you. So to deceive yourself, number one, create your own standard. Number two, focus on others and be on. And that went a little better than I thought, Miss Janet. Point two went a little bit better, but still, what my favorite. It's very jumbled up a little bit, and I couldn't get my mind wrapped around it. But number three, seek the approval of, or seek the wrong approval. Yes, I changed it. Seek the wrong approval. Look at verse 17. May he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. So the first thing we see here is the praise. In verse 17, we see here, he said, glory in the Lord. Obviously, glory means to boast. It means to vaunt. And he's saying here in Paul, basically, we should boast. When we boast, we should boast in the Lord. Now, why is he saying this? It's the reaction. What's he just doing? He just spent 3 or 4 verses bragging on himself to some degree, and he wants them to make sure that he understands that he's not saying that for himself. He's saying all that for the glory of God. He thought teachers were totally focused on the here and now. They pursued the fame and the accolades, the prestige, the wealth, and power. Because they were so focused on their own praise, they had a problem. Here it is. The problem. They were so enamored with not giving God the praise, as Paul said, they were enamored with receiving praise. And any time that we become more concerned about ourselves than God, we tend to have a problem. We have to get praise from anywhere we can get it. And so we start looking for approval in the wrong places. And that's what, look at verse 18, it says this. For not he that commendeth himself is approved. The word approved there is the word that means tested, proven. And the idea of a past test. You know, we're so wanting, and that's the thing about America now, everybody wants to be an expert, and everybody wants to pass the test. Everybody wants somebody to tell us how great we are. I mean, that's, I don't know when it came up, I mean, it happened that long, maybe 10 years, I don't know, maybe longer. I don't know. But GOAT, greatest of all time. Now what you hear all the time now. I don't know if you realize this. I think it started 3 years ago when Clemson went undefeated in football and won the national championship. They said they're the greatest of all time football team. Then you realize 2 years ago, LSU won the national championship. Joe Burrow put an outstanding number. That's the greatest of all times. Then this year when Alabama went undefeated in all SEC play and won the national championship, now they're saying, is this the greatest team of all? Well, not all of them can be the greatest team. Every year, it's just like, it's all we talk about. Everybody wants to be the greatest. Everybody wants recognition. Everybody wants praise. And we do even ourselves. And we're so hungry to be approved that we have to go to the wrong place. And that's what Paul's opponents had done. They had measured themselves and others, and basically they went to each other and got praise. You know, I've seen it. You know, they'd go to a little group and say, you know, you're pretty great. No, you're pretty great. No, you're pretty great. No, you're pretty great. And we say, well, that's just ridiculous. We do the same thing. We get with our friends. We get with our family. We get our little clique. We all have them because, you know, not least, that's just part of life. Clique or part of life. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. Okay, not that you should clique with. I mean, we all have a group that we hang out with. And we're like, hey. And we usually tend not to talk to people who don't tell us good things about ourselves. We go to people who say, well, you know, that sin's not that bad. It's okay for you to sleep with them. You really love them. We run to mamas. Now, mama usually, unless it's really, you know, special, they usually are going to be a little softer on you at times. We run to people who will tell us what we want to hear, do we not? We have that tendency. We seek approval from the wrong place. Here's the problem with that. And that all of us are fallible. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what TJ thinks. And I mean that in a way like if he thinks it's like Sam do something wrong. You know, if I find TJ and he is just okay, well, we can keep doing that. I hope he's right, but really, at the end of the day, he's not the authority. It's vice versa. I'm not the authority. The authority is the only infallible source, and that is the Word of God. Okay? We need to look for approval in God, and that's what it said. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. He said, who is approved, who gets, where approval should come from is the Lord. That means that we need to look for approval in God. And how do we do that? In God's Word. In God's Word. So, and now that's a standard. So instead of creating your own standard, don't do that. Second thing, don't focus on other people. You know, what TJ's doing, and I care about it, but I can't fix him. I need to first look at myself. So I need to quit looking at him and taking my creative standards, and I need to stop. Okay, I'm going to look at the Word of God. I'm going to look at myself and see if that lines up. That is how we do it. And the problem, if we become deceived when we look at others, people's opinion for approval. Don't get me wrong. Godly men and women can be a great asset if they are linked to the Word of God. And by the way, if somebody comes to you wanting help or advice about what they're doing, you need to make real sure that you point them to the Word of God. It's easy. I'm going to be honest, it's easy. I got friends. I know you might not believe it. I do have a few friends. And it's easy. One of my best friends back home, David, it's real easy because me and him think just alike. And if he don't like something, I probably don't like it either. And it's easy to take his side no matter what, and vice versa. But you know, he's not always right. And I'm not always right. So if there's something going on, then we need to look at it. Both of us need to look at it in light of the Word of God. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if David says, hey, you know, I believe you're right. Well, at the end of the day, what matters is, does God say I'm right or wrong? Now, he can be a great asset if he goes to the Word of God. And that's the thing. Remember, as I was a newsflash, their approval isn't what matters. God's approval is. Today, your friends, family, etc., they may approve, but does God? Because when we're not careful, if all we do is seek the approval of other people, we're probably going to be deceived. We have to look to the Word of God. And that's the thing, what's sad is many of us care more about what others think than God. And that's why many people are deceived. That's why many people continue to do the things they do that are not right, because they're to be looking at other people and looking for other people's approval, and maybe not the approval, but they're okay, saying, it's okay, it's not wrong, it's not bad. But it is, if the Word of God condemns it. And that is how we make sure we're not deceived. How to deceive yourself today, in conclusion, three things. Number one, you want to deceive yourself today, create your own standard. Create your own standard. Make it tailor-made, and we do this all the time. We all have things that we think are, you know, well, that's okay, or we got things that we think that we should do and shouldn't do. And some of them may be a good, and they might be a bad thing, but is it the Word of God? We create our own standard. Do that. And if you want to deceive yourself, then create your own standard. Number two, focus on others. Focus on others. That's what the false teachers did. They didn't focus on themselves. And when they did, they were dishonest. Focus on others and be dishonest. I guarantee if you do that, you will deceive yourself. And then number three, seek the wrong approval. Seek the praise of other people and not God. And if you do that today, I guarantee you'll walk out here feeling very justified and very good about yourself. But if you do the opposite, number one, look to the absolute standard, the Word of God, focus on yourself, and don't give yourself any leeway, and seek the approval of God, then today you might actually see something in your life that needs to be changed. And then that is how revival is going to start. That's how America is going to be changed. Because then at that point, we might become a light that's not being hidden under a bush of sin. And we can shine, and we can get our priorities right, and we can love our neighbor, we can tell people about Jesus, and we can live a holy and righteous life. Until we do that, we're going to be deceived. And I'm standing on our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment, just to give you a moment to reflect. If you're like me, not just in spiritual things, but just in life, I know I'm guilty of creating my own standard. I know I'm guilty of that many times. Let me ask you, what about you? What about you? Do you create your own standard? Hey, let me ask you. Do you spend most of your time focusing on other people and what they're doing? Now, granted, there is a place and a time for us to care about other people. The Bible said that if your brother has fallen, restore him. Right, there is a time to go and help other people get back up in the right way. Nothing wrong with that, okay? But let me ask you, do you spend all your time just focusing on people not to help them up, but to tear them down and to build yourself up? Do you spend your time doing that when you focus on people? And if you are, you're probably going to be deceived. Let me ask you, are you seeking the wrong approval? Like that. If you're younger and your parents are still alive, it don't really matter what your parents think. Not really what they say is right or wrong. I love my mom and dad. They're right most of the time until it comes to me, and then they're wrong usually. At the end of the day, what they say and what they say is okay or not okay isn't it what matters. It matters what God thinks about my conduct. It may be a friend. It may be a group of friends or family. It doesn't matter. Hey, their approval, and just because they check off on it, don't mean it's okay. Hey, even you may say, I think it's okay. Hey, that doesn't matter. Like my mentor told me, it doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter what I think, it matters what the Bible says and teaches. Let's make sure that we're seeking God's approval. Because here's why. Because it's real easy to deceive yourself. Hey, maybe you can, I can testify, have you ever done something? Have you ever justified something you knew was wrong to do? Okay, that's my point. What'd you do? You deceived yourself. You deceived yourself. Hey, it's a reality, like I said earlier. It's a reality. Let's avoid that. Let's work on not being deceived. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you've done, Lord. Lord, I ask you I know even for me today, the only person I can focus on is myself, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to even now continue to work in my life and help me, Father, to see the things that I'm doing is wrong, Lord. It's easy to look at other people, and kind of say, we judge, don't judge someone because they sin differently. Well, it's easy for me to look at the people, the sin that I may not be struggling with, and that someone else is a man, they're just bad. But Lord, the sin that I'm struggling with, that they might be struggling with, Lord. And Lord, help me just to look at myself. Lord, help me to not create my own standard, but to use your word to evaluate my life. And Lord, help me, Father, to do that today. Lord, help me to seek your approval. Lord, help us to not have to take the blinders off our eyes, Lord. Help us to realize that we need to look at ourselves, Father. And Lord, help us to follow you. And Lord, help us, Father, continue to conform to your image. And Lord, help us, Father, do that today. Lord, thank you for each person here, Lord. I ask you that as we go out of here, Lord, if your word has spoke to them, Lord, and Lord, they'll do business with you. Lord, I ask you that someone here that's not saved, Lord, that they'll also get right with you as well. I want to thank you for all that you've done today and all you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen.